My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ our Lord, who has redeemed us through the blood of Jesus Christ, who has made us one, so that we may serve, that we may love Him. Any of you know someone in your life who seems to be angry all the time? It's just their personality. Doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter how life goes, they're going to grumble, they're going to complain about something. The smallest thing goes wrong, and they fly off the handle. Can you think of somebody? Maybe you think about somebody who's a friend, a family member. Maybe if you're like me, you think about yourself a little bit. Seems to be angry all the time, that there's always something that can go wrong. It's never going to work out right. And they show it. After enough time, after enough stress, after enough things build up and pile up, and then unfortunately they take it out on their loved ones. Even if they don't mean to. I'm sure you know somebody. The question is why? I mean, what really is going wrong so much in life that we have to be angry all the time? How bad is life really that the only thing that we can think about, the only thing that we can dwell on is all of the negative, all of the pessimistic? How have we forgotten all of the good, all of the blessings, all of the wonderful things that we have? I don't know if you're country music fans or not. If you're not, it's not a big deal. But a number of years ago, there was an artist named Tim McGraw who wrote a song, Angry All the Time. It's about a couple that just didn't seem to get along. They were in a hard time. In fact, it looked like they were going to separate. And the reason? Because one of them was angry all the time. Didn't matter what happened. They were always yelling, always screaming. Maybe we can sympathize a little bit. Maybe we can understand. The beauty here is as Paul is giving us encouragement once again in the book of Ephesians, he's trying to get us to stop for a moment, to get out of the stress and to get out of the hecticness of life, to get out of that which is causing us anger, and be able to see for a moment that we don't have any reason to be angry. He's trying to get us to focus our attention on what we actually do have and what we have been given that can change our heart and change our mind and change the way that we behave and the way that we act. Really, because that is what has to change, is the way we see the world. In fact, really what God is asking through Paul today is, how can you be angry all the time when you know what it is I have done for you? Again, we're walking through the book of Ephesians. We've seen in the first three chapters all the beauty of what God has done for us. We know the reason we have to praise. And today, we look once again at how we praise our God now. We know what He has done. How do we show Him how thankful we are? Here in chapter 4, in the beginning of chapter 5, he's talking about we do so by behaving in a way that is loving and thankful. By focusing our mind not on all of the earthly problems that we face, but the spiritual heavenly blessings that we have. This is what Paul writes. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. I want to stop there for a moment, because already right here in the first verse we look at, Paul is getting us to focus our attention on the beauty of what God has done. He says here that we have been sealed for the day of redemption. I'm going to give you a little insight on that word sealed, because I don't know if we get the full flavor of it. Originally, as in most of the New Testament, written in Greek, the word that is used and translated to English here as sealed really has more of an ideal of a branding. Do you know what I mean by branding? You ever seen something get branded? What do we brand? Typically, animals. Maybe not as much anymore, at least not in the same way with that searing poker, but the idea still holds. And the purpose of branding? So that you knew and everyone else knew without any doubt whatsoever who the animal belonged to. Okay, answer this then. If we have been sealed or we have been branded with the Spirit for that day of redemption, what does that mean to you? What does it mean at all? If we've been sealed, if we've been branded with God Himself for that day of redemption, who do we belong to? Who has claimed us as His own? God has. And if God has claimed you, if God has said you are mine, it means no one else can take you. It means sin and death and Satan in this world, no matter what it may throw at us, no matter what it may have, can't take us away, because it's not going to be able to remove the brand that God Himself has put on us. We are His. Which means one day we get to go to be where He is. We get heaven. We get forgiveness. We get life. We get all of the joy and all of the splendor of that paradise that we can't even comprehend. And nothing can change that, because God has placed His brand on you. We were sealed for the day of redemption. You see, that's why Paul starts out this way. He says, don't grieve the Spirit. Don't give God any reason to be perturbed. Don't go against Him because of all the sinful attitudes of the heart that we wish to follow and that we are so inclined to follow. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't make Him weep and cry because of what He has done for you. This is why he starts this way. Why do we have no reason to be angry? Because God chose you. Even when we were still lost in our sin, God chose you. When we were destined to death, to sin and hell, when we had rebelled against our God, when we had turned our back on Him, when we said, God, I don't want anything to do with you, because that's who we were as sinners, God still says, yet I choose you. And now you are mine. Why do we have any reason to be angry? Look what God has done. This is a reason to rejoice. He's trying to get us out of our mindset. Which is why Paul continues to push that point. We have no reason to be so angry all the time. He goes on by saying, get rid of every kind of bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Get rid of all that bitterness and rage. Do you have some of that bitterness and rage? That anger? Maybe you're not naturally that way. Some of us might be. Some of us might have a little bit of a harder time seeing the positive outlook in life, even when we have so many wonderful blessings placed in front of us. And I think part of it depends on the time of life we're in, what's been going on and what has been happening. We can take a little, but each and every one of us has a breaking point where it gets to be just too much. Do we live in a world of bitterness and anger, of rage and hostility? Go out on the road and cut someone off. I guarantee you, you will see bitterness and rage and anger. How many people have gone to the supermarket at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon? I think it's almost more dangerous than the road. Bitterness and rage. I've seen it. We live in a world of bitterness and rage. All over the media, you get a chance to see it every single day. As we don't talk to each other anymore, we yell at each other now, right? Isn't that the normal volume of conversation? To yell at one another? And if you throw some obscenities in there just for good measure, all the better. I'm not saying I believe it, but that's what the media has been pushing. That's what our culture seems to have devolved into. We live in a society that is filled with bitterness and rage and anger all the time. And it really shouldn't surprise us. Because what does the average individual in our world have to look forward to? Nothing. The average individual in this world has nothing to look forward to. All we can hope for is a good life and that it ends peacefully and that we had more good times than bad times. And as we live in a society, the longer that you live, the more you realize that we aren't filled with a plethora of amazing, everything worked out the way I wanted it to times, but it's more filled with some difficulties and some trouble, some pain and tears, loss and anguish. And if this is what we have to look forward to, if this is the best it's ever going to get, I'd get really angry about that too. And we can't do anything about it. And I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person who, when I realize that I can't do anything about it, I don't always then just say, well, might as well just have let it be. I get even more frustrated. And it's even that much harder to not be angry and bitter about the entire situation. That's the sinner in me. But we're not like the rest of the world. We have every reason to be thankful and joyous. We have something to look forward to. We have the promise that God said, I sent my Son for you. He died for you. You are forgiven now. So you can let go of all that bitterness, of that anger, and all of that rage, because you don't need it. There's no reason to be. Because look what I have done for you. I have given you forgiveness and life. You have something to look forward to. This world is not the best it's going to be. In fact, it is so far from it, you can't even imagine. You have something better coming. That paradise of joy and splendor that we call heaven. So that's why Paul says, so get rid of all the anger, all of the hatred, and all of the bitterness. Instead, in love, in forgiveness, in compassion, and do that which I have done, he says. Forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave you. Here's your purpose. Here's your reason. If you ever needed a reason not to be filled with anger, but instead to have that love and compassion that only God can give, this is the reason. God in Christ forgave you. You get angry when someone does something against you that you don't like. You get angry when you get hurt because of somebody else's actions or lack thereof. If you don't understand what that is like, I invite you to come over to my home any day. And listen to my children yell at each other because of what one has done to the other. And now, maybe, you know what I mean. Because we get angry. We get filled with bitterness and hatred. But we have no reason to be. Because God has said, let's face it, as much as you may not like it when other people have done things against you, as much as you may figure one person has it out to get you all of the time, they have still not done as much against you as you have done against me. How much have we done against God? God who said, this is what I expect out of you, this is what I have asked of you, and when we were given the opportunity, we said, no. Like the defiant child. Or we said yes and don't do it. Given the opportunities to follow what God has written in His Word and what God would have us do, having those opportunities to tell the world about Jesus, to be able to make a stance and a defense of faith and a defense of God and all that He has done, of being able to turn away from the own bitterness within us, of being able to say, I am going to trust in my God and not give myself to despair, all of those opportunities, and we failed on a lot of them. Not to mention going back even to the very Garden of Eden where Adam and Eve turned their backs on God. One simple command, and they don't even follow that, but we're not any better. And God has said, look how many times you have turned your back on me, that you have refused to listen to what I have told you, that you have wronged me. And if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that's been a lot, right? And God goes, but I forgive you. It's all done. It's all gone. I won't even remember it. I'll act like it never happened. God in Christ has forgiven you of everything that we have done wrong in our lives. Everything. No matter how big or how small it might be, it's gone. This is what Paul says. This is why you have every reason to be loving and forgiving, and you have no reason to be angry. Because God in Christ has forgiven you of everything you have ever done wrong and given you the promise of eternal life. What beauty it is. In fact, Paul uses a picture of this very thing of forgiveness in a very vibrant picture. One that would have stuck with his disciples, I guarantee it. Because he ends this section as he says, "Therefore be imitators of God as his dearly loved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So now he says, instead of holding on to the anger and the rage, be imitators of God, the ones who forgive, just as God has forgiven us in Christ. And he says, and realize that we walk in love. This loving forgiveness is a fragrant offering. Do you remember what they did at the temple in the Old Testament? I want you to imagine for a moment what the temple would have smelled like. You ever thought about that? I've brought it up before, maybe you have then. But what did they do every day at the temple over and over and over again? They sacrificed animals. It was a butcher shop. They would kill the animal and then they would lay it, its entire carcass, on a burning pyre. I know it's revolting, but imagine for a moment how that would have smelled. I can imagine that as you were there in the temple, that was the only thing you smelled. And probably because it got stuck in your nostrils, it was the only thing you smelled for several hours after you went home. There's a point there. In fact, God had a point in that. Because now he says that the sacrifice of Jesus is that fragrant offering. It's something that gets stuck in God's nostrils. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, it was such a wonderful thing that now all God can see, or sticking with the picture, all God can smell on us is the offering of Jesus. He doesn't smell our sin anymore, because as far as he's concerned, it's not there. Because of how overpowering the sacrifice of Jesus is. This is our motivation. This is why he says, be imitators of Christ with that self-sacrificing love and the one who is willing to let go of all the wrongs that have ever been committed against him because he dies to take away all sin and to remove all of those times. I think we have the best example in Jesus when he was being nailed to the cross in his words that he speaks. Do you remember? Father, forgive them. The people putting nails in his hands, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Is that a man of rage and anger? No. That's our God of forgiveness, compassion, and love. How can you be angry all the time? I think it's legitimate we could ask ourselves that question every once in a while. I think we need to get out of the world that we are stuck in, stop seeing all of the physical that is around us, and realize the amazing blessings that God has given to us through His Son Jesus. That in the sacrifice of Jesus, we have been forgiven of everything. And we have the promise of life. So when we are wronged, remember that God has forgiven every time we've wronged Him. And so if we're imitators of Christ, I think we can forgive others when they've wronged us. This is what is beautiful about what our God has done for us. And it's our way of saying, Lord, thank you. I praise and glorify you. And now help me so that I'm not angry all the time. But instead, focus on your forgiveness and love. Amen.